Welcome to Clipper Reads, a podcast from the Portsmouth High School Library about our favorite topic, books. The show will include book recommendations, give a book 15, tips for choosing your next book, and more. All right, we're back.
We're back.
We took a little bit of time off there. Things were getting a little bit busy in the library and didn't have the time to do this, but we're making time today.
That's right.
Probably going to get interrupted a million times by the intercom or people coming in or the phone ringing, but we're going to see what we can do to get through this episode.
Okay, quick,
smoothly.
Talk quick.
Yes, we'll talk really quickly. So if it sounds a little bit choppy, that's why. We may have to do some editing at the end. So today we're going to be sharing some of the new books that we've gotten in this month. And it's exciting because we had several months where we couldn't buy books because the budget was frozen due to COVID. And so we hadn't bought books since February or early March. And then we were just able to start buying them again this fall. So we have a couple big orders that have come in, and we want to just share some of the new books that maybe you haven't had a chance to look at yet.
Yep.
All right.
And they're so pretty.
They are. They're so new and shiny and crisp and just ready and waiting to be read.
Yes.
Yes. So the first book that I'm going to talk about is called Breath Like Water by Anna Jarzab. And also, by the way, if we sound sort of muffled, it's because we're wearing our masks. We're being safe and responsible while at work. So we're masked up in case I sound a little bit funny. So this is described as expansive, romantic, and powerful by Gail Forman, author of If I Stay. This is about two characters, a girl and a boy, and they're both on the swim team, a competitive swim team, where they have big goals of going to the Olympics. So they're very good swimmers. And I haven't read this book. These are all brand new, like I said. So I'm going going on the description and kind of what some people said in Goodreads. And basically, you know, they meet. They both have kind of some issues that they're trying to overcome. It looks like the girl, Susanna, has a coach that's really difficult that she's trying to deal with. And a lot of pressure in terms of her swimming career. And then Harry is the boy. And it looks like he's suffering from maybe bipolar disorder. And throughout the book, they fall in love. And, you know, he shares with her his struggles. And they have to overcome kind of things separately and together to make the relationship work. So it looks like a great book. And the cover is... They're kind of in the water, reaching for each other underwater with kind of some bubbles coming up. And it looks really...
Yeah, and Gail Forman is an author that a lot of kids would know.
Yes.
Students would already know.
Definitely. So this is realistic fiction and a love story. And if you're someone who maybe loves swimming or you're on the swim team, this I think there's a lot of kind of details that you appreciate if that's kind of your sport. Mm-hmm. So... come and check it out next time you're in the library, or send us an email and we'll find a way to get it to you if you're home.
The first book I chose was definitely based on the cover. It's called Ice Walker, A Polar Bear's Journey Through the Fragile Arctic by James Raffin. And we have it listed under True Stories, but it is a nonfiction book, and it tells the story of Nanook, this beautiful female polar bear with some babies. And it sort of switches back and forth between first person narrative of the bear herself and some scientific facts and observations about the Hudson Bay area and the polar ice caps. It's ultimately a story about global warming and the pressures that these polar bears and other animals are facing, including humans. And it talks about the pitfalls of global warming. It talks about oil drilling and oil spilling that's happening in her environment. And it just follows her, and there's this in, on her yearly journey with her babies. And it just has some really sweet pictures and lots of scientific facts. So I was really drawn to that.
And it doesn't look like a long, heavy
read.
It's
not. It's a quick read, actually.
Yeah, it's not. It's a small book, and it's a thin book. So it looks like it might give a lot of information in sort of a short, quick read. If this is a topic that's interesting to you, you wouldn't get bogged down with like too much information.
And I think having the polar bear as the point of view really drives the story forward. So
very cool.
That one.
All right. So the next book that I will talk about, it's called I'll Be the One by Lila Lee.
Oh, I saw that one too.
Yeah.
What a cover.
I know. It's really bright colors. It's really bright yellow with a couple other kind of stripes of different colors in it.
It's very pleasing.
And a girl dancing on the cover with her eyes closed, kind of like dancing with abandon.
Yes.
And I actually did a book talk in one of our English classes about this book recently. And I read the description, and I have to make a confession here. This has to do with K-pop, and
K-pop.
Yes. So this character, the main character, tries out for this reality TV show in the world of K-pop, and I wasn't really sure what K-pop was, because I thought K-pop was like the name of a Korean band.
Mm.
I didn't realize it was a whole genre of music. So I'm kind of showing my age here.
It's okay.
And a little bit of my, you know, just like kind of living in my little world, my little bubble. My daughter, who's 13, was so embarrassed to find this out about her mother that I didn't know this. But anyway, so this takes place in Korea, in the world of K-pop, and she's considered in terms of Korean standards to be overweight. And so she's trying to push back against kind of the stigma against being overweight and being a K-pop star. And she actually like wins the competition and gets into this like whirlwind of like the K-pop world. And there's a love story involved, and it says on Goodreads it's categorized under the LGBT, category,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't say anything about that in the description. So I went into the comments on Goodreads because I was curious, and a lot of times people want to know, like, what is the representation in this book? So it did say the main character is bisexual, and then some of the side characters are lesbian or bisexual, too, just so if, you want to know exactly what the representation is in the book, when you choose it.
Mm.
So overall, it looks like a really fun read. It has excellent reviews. It's described as charming, romantic, and empowering.
Looks just very sweet and positive.
Yeah. Mm. Just kind of a good book to get out of, like, out of our reality right now of being stuck in this pandemic,
yes.
you know?
based on our last conversation, I'm trying to suss out some mysteries that I might be interested in. So I picked up this one. It's called Confessions on the 745 by Lisa Unger. She's written a bunch of sort of mystery suspense novels. And the setup is that a woman named Selena gets on the train, she's tired, and she's got a lot of problems. she's an adult, she's married, she knows that her husband is currently having an affair, he's had affairs in the past, and she knows that he's currently having an affair with the nanny of their children.
Oh my goodness.
So she sort of slumps down and over the course of her train ride confesses this fact to what she thinks is a sympathetic stranger woman also on the train, who also confesses something to her.
I kind of can see where this is going, or I have a guess.
Yes.
Anyway.
And so they sort of, ha ha ha, they sort of laugh it off.
Mm-hmm.
And the stranger says, wouldn't it be wonderful if all our problems just disappeared? Well, wouldn't you know, the next day, the nanny disappears.
Oh, I thought the husband was going to disappear.
The husband does not disappear. Sadly, no, I'm just kidding. And it sort of devolves into this four-person point of view. Selena, the nanny, has a part, a retired detective, and also this mysterious little girl named Pearl, who we do not know throughout most of the book who Pearl is.
Interesting.
And it's sort of, it's, you know, a typical whodunit kind of, it's been compared to the Hitchcock novel, the Stranger on the Train, or the movie Stranger on a Train.
Okay.
So it's written up in Goodreads as just very, like, gripping, like a quick page turner. It has very short chapters. So I think this one might hold my attention. And though there is a murdery murder in the beginning, it's not explicit, and it's sort of more about the story of
not about
who did it and why and what the real story is. So.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that you've gotten me wanting to read that book, so good job. Okay, the next book that I'm going to introduce is called Your Blue is Not My Blue by Aspen Mattis. It's a memoir, and it's a missing person memoir, so it's sort of a mystery true story.
Okay.
And what interested me about this book, besides the fact that it had really excellent reviews, and that's why I purchased it for our library, but what makes me want to read this book is that it's about a couple who met while hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, which we've talked about, the book Wild by Cheryl Strayed that I read recently, was about hiking that trail. And I myself have been into hiking recently. So this couple met, they were both hiking solo from Mexico to Canada.
Oh my gosh.
And over the course of their hike, they kept kind of running into each other. Then they'd separate, then they'd run into each other. And by the time they got to Canada, they fell in love.
Hmm.
They got married. 3 years later, they're still happily married. Everything's going well. And her husband leaves to go to a funeral and never comes back. And And while she is trying to search for the answers, she finds out some things that she didn't know, some truths that maybe he was hiding. I don't know. I haven't read it yet. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going based on like the description, and it doesn't give it away. So it's like shocking truths, you know, like makes you look at everything a totally different way. And it's like, oh my God, what happened? You know, it's maybe he had a hidden life, like a second life that she didn't know about, or I don't know. You'll have to read it to find out.
It's a memoir.
It's a true story. So she's telling her true story of what she went through and the truth that she found out.
Okay.
I know.
Love that.
I know. Like, don't you want to know?
I mean, that's the kind of mystery I feel like I can handle.
Yes. Exactly. So that's kind of like, I'm reading another book right now, and I'm excited to get to that book next. I'm like, oh, that looks so good.
Yeah, it does. Another book that is mystery-ish is called Grown by Tiffany Jackson, who also wrote
Monday's Not Coming.
Thank you.
Which I know several students in this building have read, and they loved it.
Okay.
So if they loved Monday's Not Coming, they would probably love this book too.
I think it's totally different. Maybe similar in a power dynamic issue. The story is about this young woman named Enchanted, and she is an aspiring singer. And her tight-knit family moves to the white suburbs. So she is sort of the lone Black girl, sort of somewhat struggling in the white suburbs. She, as an aspiring singer, she gets discovered by this super popular R&B artist known as Corey Fields. And so he sort of takes her under his wing, and he uses his influence to sort of launch her career. Turns out that Mr. Corey has a very dark side, and he, I will say that this book is written up with multiple trigger warnings. So if if you're feeling safe and secure in your position, this might be a great novel for you to pick up. But it does have issues of the power imbalance, and it becomes very obvious quickly that Corey is a sinister character. Again, the chapters are short, the pace is quick, and the story drama, it should really draw you in. The hook is, if I read you the blurb, it says, when Enchanted Jones wakes up with blood on her hands and zero memory of the previous night, no one, the police and Corey's fans included, has more questions than she does. All she really knows is that this isn't how things are supposed to be. Corey was Enchanted's ticket to stardom. So he's dead. She's got blood on her hands. Another whodunit.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, all right. Sounds good. Yeah. All right. I am going to next share another nonfiction.
Okay.
Okay. This one is not, it's not a memoir. And I don't know that it's like a suspenseful page turner or anything like that, but yeah, it looks really fascinating to me.
Ooh, it's really pretty.
Yeah, it's called The Entangled Life, How Fungi Make Our Worlds, Change Our Minds, and Shape Our Futures by Merlin Sheldrake. Mm-hmm. Somebody on Goodreads pointed out that Merlin Sheldrake is like the name of like a professor from Harry Potter or something. Like, it's the perfect name of an author talking about fungi.
Yes.
And so in this book, it just, I guess it gives some like really like fascinating facts about fungi and how essential it is to our bodies, to our planet, how it existed on Earth before plants even did. And it in fact made it possible for plants to grow. Hmm. Like, fungi acted as the roots for water plants for millions of years before water plants started to evolve to develop their own roots. Isn't that crazy?
Whoa.
And there's like vast networks of fungi under the soil that help plants and trees communicate with each other. It's like living on us. It's everywhere.
Are there pictures in there too?
Let's see.
Ooh, there's some pictures.
Are there? I don't know. Oh, there are.
So pretty.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, when you just say, oh, it's a book about fungi, it sounds like, okay, that sounds, you know, it just sounds like it might be boring, but apparently the reviews are just incredible. And this author, Merlin Sheldrake, has a way of really bringing this to life and helping you learn about this hidden world that most of us don't even realize exists or really, you know, take notice of. And it's really fascinating.
Yay.
Yeah.
My last book today is called The Paper Girl of Paris. It's genred as historical fiction. It's by Jordan Taylor. I'm just going to read you the blurb because I think it does a good job of describing what's going on. It's a two point of view book, and it says, now, 16-year-old Alice is spending the summer in Paris, but she isn't there for pastries and walks along the Seine. When her grandmother passed away, she left Alice a mysterious apartment in France that's been locked for more than 70 years. Alice is determined to find out why the apartment was abandoned and why her grandmother never mentioned the family she left behind after World War II. However, the more time she spends digging through the mysteries of the past, the more Alice realizes there are secrets in the present that her family is still refusing to talk about. Then 16-year-old Adeline doesn't recognize Paris anymore. Everywhere she looks, there are Nazis, and every day brings a new horror of life under the occupation. When she meets Luke, the dashing and enigmatic leader of a resistance group, Adeline feels she finally has a chance to fight back. But keeping up the appearance of being a much admired socialite while working to undermine the Nazis is more complicated than she could have imagined. And soon Adeline finds herself having to make more and more compromises to her safety, to her reputation, and her relationships with the people she loves the most. So, World War II, historical fiction, who doesn't love that, right?
I know. You know who was talking about that book? Mrs. McAllister.
Really?
She saw that book and was like, oh, I need to check that one out. That looks good.
Yes. I mean, Paris, World War II.
That is right up my alley. I love World War II historical fiction.
I know. I should just give this to you.
You probably should. Okay. So the last book I'm going to talk about is called Survivor Song by Paul Tremblay. And I'm going to warn you that if you don't feel like reading an apocalyptic book about a deadly virus taking over, don't read this book.
My head is in my hands.
If you've had enough of pandemics and end of the world kind of, news, this book might not be for you. But some people, actually a lot of people, love reading this kind of book exactly right now because of what's going on. I don't know why, but that's, and I kind of fall into that category where I don't think it would bother me. Mm-hmm. And I would actually really enjoy this book. Okay, so it takes place in Massachusetts, and in a matter of weeks, Massachusetts has become overrun by an insidious virus that is spread by saliva. And like rabies, the infection causes confusion, loss of inhibition, terrible hallucinations, and gives rise to hydrophobia, an aversion to water. Hmm. But unlike rabies, the disease has a terrifyingly short incubation period of an hour or less. Those infected, both animals and humans, quickly lose their minds and are driven to bite and infect as many others as they can before they die or are killed. So then a lot of the things that happen because of in the government and first responders and things, I guess, are similar. He wrote this before the pandemic.
Oh, really?
It was published this year, but he wrote it before and really got a lot of the things correct, about the way the shortfalls. Mm-hmm. Of our kind of our system of dealing with these kinds of things. And the characters that end up kind of coming to the forefront are this woman whose husband has been killed, Natalie, and she's pregnant and she's been bitten and she has a very short amount of time to go and get a rabies vaccination. I guess rabies vaccination works on this virus before she's also killed and so that she can deliver her child safely and all of that kind of thing. And apparently it's just a very suspenseful, page turning story.
Yeah, it must be.
And so if you are into kind of dystopian apocalypse type books with deadly viruses, this one is for you.
Oh, all right.
So that does it for the books that we have here for today. And, I hope that you can come into the library and check out the books that we have online on our website, the Clipper Library website. We have links to a list of the books that we've gotten in recently, so you can browse that way and send us an email if you are interested, and we'll find a way to get you the book, either by leaving it in the office or home delivery if you're not able to get here. So. I hope you reach out and find a good book.
Yes. Happy reading.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in today. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all of the books mentioned in this episode.